Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from the letter to the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, your fellow redeemed, in his blood. Are you my mother? This was one of my favorite childhood books in which a little bird looks for his mother. If you've ever read it or seen it, then you know what I'm talking about. The little bird asks different inanimate objects even, are you my mother? Well, at the end of the story, of course, the little bird finds his mother, another bird. And, well, I guess honestly, the mother finds him. Is God my father? It's an important question. It's a legitimate question. One that many today seem to answer rather cavalierly. Of course God's my father. He created me. Well, it's an interesting answer. But the fact that God created each and every one of us in the womb does not make God our father. It makes him our creator. The relationship of a father to his child is a different one. Fear not, the scriptures declare in a simple way how God becomes our father, and it is not by virtue of his creating us or even granting us physical life. In writing to the Galatian Christians as directed by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul explains how it is that created but fallen human beings come into a family relationship with God. And it isn't by virtue of their creation, but by virtue of their baptism, in which they are spiritually born again. How does God, my creator, become God, my father? It is written, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The fact of the matter is, God is not everyone's father, but he is the father of those who trust in his son. I realize that's not politically correct, but it is most certainly biblically accurate. It isn't that God has randomly rejected some and played the favorite with others. God would be, wants to be, the spiritual father of every human being. But sadly, many reject his son and what he has done. They, through unbelief, forfeit the opportunity to become children of God, to enter into a familial relationship with God. Those who do believe credit God the Holy Spirit with having changed their relationship with him. The Apostle John wrote in the first chapter of his gospel, but as many as received him, that's Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now, almost every human being in the face of the earth has set eyes on their biological father. But not one of us have ever seen our spiritual father, our heavenly father. But that doesn't stop us from confessing, as we did a few moments ago, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. It's a matter of faith based upon God's word and what it declares. This declaration is not a matter of reason or personal opinion. We don't say, I have seen and therefore believe in God the Father Almighty, because none of us have. We say, I believe, because the Scripture says so, and the Holy Spirit has worked faith in our hearts to believe it. Who is God the Father? The Bible teaches simply that there is one God who is three persons, three separate and distinct persons. We believe that God the Father is one of those equal persons of God. Why do we believe that? When Jesus sent his disciples out to baptize, he spoke of the one God in three persons and said, Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Honestly, we call God Father because God's word describes him on the one hand as the Father of the man Jesus Christ. As a human being, Jesus often referred to God as his Father. In fact, as you heard in our gospel lesson, Jesus went so far as to say that no one can come into a family relationship with the Father without him. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Why is it that we are so bold as to speak of God as our Father in the Lord's Prayer? It's because, by faith in Jesus, we have become children of God. Okay, so why do we declare that God the Father is almighty? This is going to come as a shock to you, but it's simply because the Creator describes himself exactly that way in his Word. I'm kidding, it's not a shock. In the very first book of the Bible, we're told that God spoke directly to a man named Abram, and this is what he said about himself. I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And so it is that we confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, simply because God's Word makes these declarations about him in his Word. We confess them because we accept as true what God tells us in his Word. It is a matter of faith, not of reason, not of interpretation, not of opinion. Which brings us finally to the Word of God upon which we focus this morning. It declares that God has created the universe and the world in which we live by simply speaking. This, too, is a matter of faith, not of reason, not of opinion, not of interpretation, not of science. Because, you see, no human being, no matter how old or wise, can declare how this world came to be because they were there. God, on the other hand, was present, and he tells us how all things came to be. So even as none of us have seen our Heavenly Father, but trust him as a matter of faith, none of us witnessed the creation of the world. And yet, we declare that God has, in six extraordinary 24-hour days, created the heavens and the earth. May God grant that these truths may always be the declaration of our hearts. Amen. Do you know what a flat earther is? I guess most of you know that there is actually a collection of people today that believe the Earth's shape is not that of a globe, but in fact a flat plane. Really. They suggest that the pictures of the Earth from space are a hoax designed by the government to deceive. And it seems that no matter what proofs are presented, they always seem to have an answer to dispute it. As far as I know, no rational person today disputes the existence of the Earth. We all agree that it exists because we're living on it. How the Earth came to exist, however, is a different matter. For many, this is a matter of conjecture. Many today hold to what's called the theory of evolution. This theory suggests that the Earth came into being by pure chance over a period of billions of years. The theory, by the way, is not of ancient origin. It's just over 200 years old, beginning with a man by the name of Charles Darwin, who didn't actually teach evolution, but natural selection. God's word contradicts this so-called theory by declaring that the Earth and the universe in which it spins was created by the all-powerful God. In the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, which means origins, God describes in outline form how he created the universe and the Earth and all the things in it. Moreover, elsewhere in God's word, he declares that evidence of his creation, of his creative power, is on display in the created world. Psalm 19, verse 1 tells us that the heavens declare God's glory and the skies show the work of his hands. In the letter to the Roman Christians, the Apostle Paul says that God's qualities are on display in the created world, especially his power and his goodness. In the letter to the Hebrews, from which this text is taken, it's declared simply, "For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God." For us Christians, the matter of the creation and preservation of the earth shouldn't be a matter of question or doubt. It shouldn't be, because God himself, in simple language, you heard it this morning, speaks of the origin of the earth. What's more, unlike the theory of evolution, God doesn't come back every year and say, "Oh, sorry, I didn't mean 3 billion years, I meant 9. The origin of the universe and the earth is not a matter of science. It is a matter of faith. We can't drive down to Jerusalem today and make an appointment to talk to the Creator and ask him about it. He doesn't communicate with us that way, face to face, but only in his unchanging word. Which is why the writer to the Hebrews says what he does. "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." So let me ask you, how do we know that the founding fathers of our country rebelled against England? How do we know who wrote the Declaration of Independence? How did the Upper Peninsula, thankfully, become part of Michigan and not Wisconsin? Well, we know the answer to these questions because the events have been written down, recorded in history by those who were present then and there. We know not because we were ourselves there to see it, none of you are that old, but because those who were left behind a recorded record for the sake of the generations to come. We rely on recorded history, right? Duh. We understand that the universe and everything in it were created by God, not because we were there to see it or because it seems reasonable to us, but because the one person who was there has left us a record. This is not a matter to be decided by so-called science or by men who weren't a glint in their father's eyes 2,000 years ago, much less 6,000 years or more. This is not a matter to be molded by personal opinion or public opinion or even interpretation. It is a matter of faith, based alone upon the written record. It is by faith that we understand, that we perceive, that we gain insight into the facts that the worlds were framed by the word of God. What? What? Worlds framed? Is this saying that God created other universes or worlds? Is this saying that God merely framed the universe and allowed evolution to hang the doors and the sheetrock? No. Good grief, no. It's just not a very good translation of the words. What worlds? Well, most often, the Greek word cosmos, that sounds familiar, I would guess, is used of the earth. It looks at the earth as a physical thing, the earth. In this case, the word eon looks at the earth from the standpoint of time. It's saying simply that the ages of the earth, the time from their beginning, were all framed, again, bad translation, put in order, completed, prepared, made, created. The Greek just says this: "By faith we comprehend that the times of the universe and the earth were ordered by the speaking of God." Isn't that better? It isn't saying that the written word organized the universe, but that the universe was called into existence by the speaking of God. Exactly what you heard in the Old Testament lesson, right? "Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." Then, as if to pound a stake into the heart of evolution, it declares, the things that we see were not made of something that already existed. God didn't start with something that was already there and just reorganize it. He created, he made out of nothing. There's no room in this or any other Bible passage for what's called theistic evolution, the idea that God created the world in part and then just kind of left it to evolve to its current state. God, the same God who created humankind, also had mercy on humankind when they rebelled against him. And instead of destroying the earth and starting over, he promised to send his son. I know, you know, how that all went. It went perfectly. According to God's plan, orchestrated by God's perfect son on Calvary. But understand that we can't dismiss the creation account without also casting the cross into doubt. We can't pick and choose which parts of the Bible we're going to accept or believe. Either it is God's word and true in every case, or it is not. And it absolutely is. By faith we understand that God, who is our Father by faith in Jesus, created the earth by simply speaking, and then also redeemed us by the blood of his Son. By faith we receive the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting from Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. That's the second article. The rest of that is yet to come. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.